I want to welcome you to our study tonight. I'm going to be looking at a passage that will help us understand some of God's design for the family. It's a passage I've never really used in this topic, but I believe it has a lot to say to us about what God does design for us within our families. We are looking at this family of God because it's so significant that we be a part of this family. And as I begin our study, I want us to think about how you enter God's family. When you think about entering a family in our culture, there are two basic ways that we have children enter into our families. One is through adoption, and that's a very godly thing. God intends to adopt us into his family. In Galatians chapter 4, beginning with verse 5, Paul said, "To redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you're no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then you are an heir through God." This particular passage helps us see that there is no limit to what God will give to you if you are an adopted son. And of course, we're talking about sons and daughters. As we think about this particular adoption, it is so important that we understand that this is not a limit, but it's a very positive that gives us an equal footing with someone who might naturally be born into a family. In other words, the Bible teaches us that we are co-heirs with Christ, God's Son. We are going to receive great blessings just as any son would. So we see one way of entering into the family of God is by adoption. But a second way of entering a family is by birth. When we begin to think about our birth into Christ, we have to see what God says about our birth. Man has a lot to say about that, but we want to go to the Scripture. When we start thinking about the birth, one of the passages that we would look to is John chapter 3 and verse 5, where Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." And so as we think about what it means to be born of the water and of the Spirit, when we read and study through Romans 8, we're going to see that the Spirit of God is going to help us. This passage in John chapter 3 teaches us that we must be born of the Spirit. When we enter into water, and that's what we must do to be born, we are born of the water and of the Spirit. As we look at Galatians 3 and verse 26, Paul said, "For we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." And then in verse 27, he tells us, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ did put on Christ." And so we enter this family of God by being buried in water. And verse 3 and 4 of Romans chapter 6 teaches us that. "Do you not know that all of you who were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with Christ into baptism, so that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we might also be raised to walk in newness of life." We are born into the family of God when we die to sin in that watery grave. And the Spirit of God cleans us up and removes our sin, and we are raised to walk in newness of life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "The old things are passed away, and all things have become new." So we are a new creation. And as we think about being born into the family of God, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2 tells us, as newborn babes, we need to desire the pure milk or the sincere milk of the Word of God. It's so important that we listen to what God says so that we may, as this passage teaches us in 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, grow thereby unto salvation. When we have these beautiful little babies born into our lives, they receive milk. It is what their body can take, and that milk helps them grow into what they need to be. And so we need to be born into the family of God. And as we look at God adopting us as sons and daughters, and everyone having an opportunity to be born into the family of God, when we listen to the Word of God, that is so significant for us in our thinking about God's Word. And as we continue to think about the message that God has for us, we want to take a look at the church being the family of God. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, Paul says, "If I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth." Paul wants the young man Timothy to know that if you're going to be a child of God, you have to act like a child of God. If you're going to be in the family of God, you have to choose to be a part of that family. And a part of being that family is to follow in the footsteps of Jesus in obeying the Father and obeying the Son, obeying what the Spirit has given us in the text of the Bible to obey. And so we want to see that the church is the family of God. It is the pillar and buttress of the truth. We listen to the truth. We live by the truth. We behave by the truth as a part of the family of God. And then we take a look at this passage from Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22, and we come to understand that the Christ is the head of the church. He put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. We want to know how to live, we must look to the head. Just like our body functions when we use our head to determine what we're going to do, where we're going to do, and how we are going to do things. The head leads the body. The body doesn't lead the head in thinking and doing. We follow what the head thinks and what the head does. And so as we think about the family of God, we want to understand that we come as adopted children. We are born into the family of God by being buried with Christ and raised a new creation, a babe in Christ, needing and desiring the sincere milk of the Word to grow thereby unto salvation. And then understanding that Christ is the head of the church. Now, I want us to turn to Romans chapter 12 and begin a study in verse 3. And I want to lead us through some passages that will tell us how we ought to behave. Remember, Paul told young Timothy, if I delay, I want you to know how to behave in the household of God. And what Paul does in Romans chapter 12, he begins to tell us a number of things that if we are going to be children in the household of God, we must listen to and we must follow. I want us first to think about what Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. He teaches us that one of the most great qualities that we need is humility. We need to be humble people. In fact, if you look at the New Testament, Jesus claimed very few things for himself, but one of the things that he does claim is humility. When he gave this great invitation, one of the parts of that passage there in Matthew chapter 11 is that he was meek and lowly in heart. So Jesus claimed for himself humility. Now Paul writes these words in verse 3 of Romans 12. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. When we begin to think about the faith that each of us possesses, we're not all on the same level. If you take a young person who has just been baptized into Christ, that young person's faith is great, and they trust in God. They believe that God has saved them from their sins. They believe that they've been part of the family of God by adoption and by having been born into the family of God. But if that young person thinks that their faith is equal to the faith of someone who has been in the family of God for 50 years and who has studied and taught and preached and worked in the kingdom of God, who has seen what life brings and what life has to offer, the challenges that life offers, plus the blessings that life offers, you see, that young person is going to be greatly, greatly mistaken. And God calls us not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. There are people who are much wiser than I need to give them credit for that and understand that. God doesn't expect me to live with and have the same knowledge and wisdom and faith as any other individual. What he expects from me is to not think more highly of myself than I ought to think, but to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we must be people who are humble. A second thing that I want to share with you comes from verses 4 through 6 here in Romans 12. And that is that each member must function within the ability level that he has. I've talked with people who have said, I could never teach. It's not necessary for everybody to be a teacher. In fact, doesn't James 3 teach us that be not many of you teachers? You're going to have a greater condemnation. Teaching carries with it a great responsibility, and not everybody is prepared to teach. And so teaching may not be a part of the function that you have in God's family. If you just consider what Paul has written to the church here in verses 4 through 6, he says, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace that God has given to us. Let us use them, if prophecy, in our proportion of faith. When I think about my body, and Paul wrote to the church in Corinth about this, what if everybody were an eye? All we could do is see. We couldn't hear, we couldn't walk, we couldn't pick up things if everybody were an eye. So the eye in the body has a particular function. Or what if everybody were an ear? All we could do is hear. We couldn't see, we couldn't walk. And so God has designed the body with many members. And yet all of those members make up one body, and each member has a particular function. And that's what Paul is saying here. Family members in the family of God must look and see what they have as an ability or abilities and use those. God does not expect me to use abilities that you have or you have. God expects me to use the abilities that I have. And so as we think about the family of God, it is a body, and as we think about that body, we must look at what the church is all about with regard to every member having opportunities and responsibilities. And then one of the most difficult things Paul talks about in verses 9 through 13, and that is how each member must put love in action. When we talk about being in love with someone, we're talking about this feeling that we have. And that is not what God is talking about. That's not what the Apostle Paul is talking about. Paul is talking about the feelings that we have being put into action. I love my wife. So what does that mean? That means that I behave in a way that helps her feel like she is loved, helps her see that she is loved. And that's what we as church members must do with each other. We need to love each other. Listen to these words of Paul beginning in verse 9. Let love be genuine. It needs to be real. It needs to be pure. It's not something that you feign. It's not something to where you put on a show. But let love be sincere. Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Are you listening to that passage when Paul is telling us these are the things that you need to do to love? It's not about how you feel. It's not about this great sensation of being just lifted up off your chair when somebody that you feel good about walks in the room. But it's about doing what needs to be done in our homes. It might be washing dishes. It might be vacuuming the floor. It might be making up a bed. And you can just list all the things that must be done to take care of a home. Somebody's got to cook. Somebody's got to clean up after cooking. And so when we start thinking about all of those things, that's what love is really about. That's what love is really about in the church. When I feel like you must do for me, or you must show honor to me, when I feel like you need to be serving the Lord in these ways, and I, as we say, let myself off the hook, we need to be thoughtful about that. And as we look at our lives, we must see love being put into action. Worship is a wonderful thing, and it is a way of showing love. It's a way of showing love for God as we honor Him. It's a way of showing love for each other as we come together to speak to one another, for example, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It is a way of showing love when we bow in reverence before God and pray for brothers and sisters who are sick or who are hurting, who are having difficulties of any kind. We're doing what God wants us to do in showing love, because love must be put into action in the family of God. And then there's so many hard things about being a Christian. And Paul, as he looks at verses 14 through 16, we have him showing us just how tough love is. Because we need to be people who love everybody under all circumstances. And as we think about that, look at what Paul says. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Do you enjoy working with people who are right all the time? There are some people that are sometimes wrong, but never in doubt. We need to think about those kinds of people and how we must hang in there with them. We must not become haughty ourselves, thinking that we are the ones who have everything under control. We need to be people who love others. It's one thing to see somebody doing something wrong and say something about them, to talk about them, to, in our own way, persecute them by sharing their misdeeds or sometimes misfortunes with other people when we really shouldn't. We should be blessing that person. And that's a hard thing to do. God is looking for us to live a great life under all circumstances. Live in harmony with each other. it seems like there are some people who get up on the wrong side of the bed every day. They are not fun to be around. They are not fun to work with. It is a difficult, difficult circumstance for them to be in line with other people. But God gives us the responsibility of trying everything we can to be in line with them. And here's that word that we began with, the concept of humility. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. When we think that we're too good to associate with people, you see, we become like the Pharisee when this woman began to show proper respect by anointing the head of Jesus with very expensive oil, washing his feet with her tears and hair, and someone looking on and saying, who is he? What is he thinking? If he knew who she was, he would not be relating to her. Jesus consistently reminds us of this principle. It's the sick who have need of the physician, not those that are well. Sometimes we see people that we don't want to associate with, and we don't have to be involved in what they're involved in, but we need to be encouraging them and teaching them, and we need not think that we are better than they are. We are sinful people deserving death, but by the grace of God, we have the opportunity to be adopted into the family of God. And may God bless us as we think about ourselves. And I'm encouraging any of you who are listening to me tonight to think about being an heir with Jesus Christ, God's Son, to gain everything that you can get by being a son of God by faith in Christ Jesus. We need to be in the family of God. And I'm praying that you will bless your own life if you're not a Christian. If you've never been adopted by God by being born into His family through being baptized, I hope you will seriously study and consider being a part of the family of God. It is that family that will live with God not only in this world, but in the world to come. May God bless you and thank you for being with us this hour.